Development with Tactics podcast. Today we are at first going to have a look at Seth Godin's blog, or Seth's blog. Maybe there's actually something new from Andrew Huberman and the Neural Network newsletter. Maybe there's something nice to see. Let's actually... Neural Network newsletter. Let's actually have a look whether there is something new. The last one was... The Foundational Fitness Protocol was the last one. And unfortunately, that is it. So let's have a look at what Seth says today. And I'm going to show you. There we go. There we go. Something like that should be fine, I would assume. Effect versus effect. In a culture fascinated by attitude, gloss, and performance, it is easy to believe that adopting an effect is precisely what you need to make a difference. In fact, the persistent, generous work that happens when no one is looking is what actually makes a difference. Looking the part, or simply acting like it, isn't nearly as important as the change we actually make. And another one, and then I really have to say something. Gentle Scrabble hacks. Perhaps these might make a great game more fun. Maximize total score. Exactly the same rules as regular Scrabble. Oh, it is about Scrabble. I don't play Scrabble, so what I wanted to say is it is really interesting, and I think especially useful to see that caring, generosity, and making something, building something, creating something, giving something to the world that is useful on multiple or in multiple ways, what, you know, something that Seth is often talking about, I would actually say that it might be actually one of his kind of core values, you know, this generosity and careness and dignity and so on. I really love that, and I also really think that it is useful, and it is a good way to live life, and it is a good way to also professionally progress. When I'm building something, when I'm doing something, when I'm talking to somebody, another human being, then of course it makes sense to be generous. Of course it makes sense to be empathetic. Of course it makes sense to think about the other person. What does the other person get out of me working for them, for example? You know, what is the benefit of that? How could this person use me as a tool or whatever? You know, how can I be useful for this person? I think it is a very important question, one that should be asked multiple times and should, at least in my point of view, be in everyone's head. Like, how can this be useful to somebody else or to the person that it is, you know, meant for? Building things, doing things that actually do help somebody, I would assume, I would say, is a really good idea. Let's see if Derek Sivers has posted another book notes article and or whatever. Apparently not. Pragmatism being the latest one as well. But maybe let's see the best. How Buildings Learn by Stuart Brand. Happy by Devin Brown. Playful Parenting on Writing Well. A few of them that we have for sure gone through already. Story. The Practice by Seth Godin. That's actually... I do know that I went through it multiple times, probably. But at least once, I know. But let's have a look at it. The subtitle Shipping Creative Work sums it up well. It is a great call to action, giving you the right mindset to create the thing you know you need to do. Very encouraging and motivating. Every creative person needs this. Creativity isn't the result of desire to find new truth. solve an odd problem, or serve someone. Process saves us from the poverty of our intentions. Askida ekmek. There is bread on the hook. It is an Asian tradition in Turkey. When buying a loaf of the local bakery, you can choose to pay for an extra loaf, and after begging your purchase, the owner will hang the second loaf on a hook on the wall, so if a person in need comes by, he or she can ask if there's anything on the hook. Which is an amazing thing, I would say. I think amazing because, I mean, there are a few videos, you know, going around on the internet around, like, the situation in Turkey, like, what is it called? You know what I mean, probably. It is a disaster, and it is really crazy, and also the size of is it an eruption? I actually don't know. It was massive. It really was massive. And, you know, it is no wonder that something happened. You know, people being like, well, it is because of the way the buildings have been built for years and or decades then, whatever. And, I mean, obviously, where I'm living, nobody's also giving a shit, I think, about that. Like, in Japan, for example, where earthquakes, yeah, there we go. Earthquakes are more common, of course. They're building buildings in a different way so that they're withstanding those forces. But I mean, just for the sake of doing so, building it in this way, I think, is also economically just, you know, not working in areas where it's just not needed. And yeah, it's also just not needed. But seeing that those blankets and water and you know, clothing, all of those things that have been shipped to Turkey and or transported to Turkey as you know, from, you know, other countries and therefore other people and whatnot to help those people in need, then laying around and whatever, this is definitely well, a pity. But I mean, having this bread on the hook is a really great way to see locally that, you know, you're helping and that that something is going on. I mean, when you pass by those bakery again a few hours from, you know, when you have bought your bread and you see that there's nothing on the hook. I mean, I don't know if this was displayed, like, just, you know, publicly or whatever. Then you knew, okay, I have done something great and or I've indeed helped somebody in need and I have seen it. I think often we just assume, and it really does involve some research to figure out, like, good companies and good charities to donate to make sure that, you know, not all of the money that I'm donating is going into, like, the organization itself, so that it sustains itself, which of course is also important. But I mean, I do want to help. Of course, I would indirectly do so anyways, because I'm supporting this organization, and because of my money, this organization is able to do indeed something. But still, I think you know what I'm meaning. Art is the work we do where there is no right answer, and yet the journey is worth the effort. Art is what we call it when we are able to create something new that changes someone. No change, no art. I mean, it could also change you, make you pissed off because you've been spending so much time on it and it, you know, didn't turn out that well. But yeah, you can't always do much about how you feel, particularly when it is about something important, but you can always control your actions. Your work is too important to be left to how you feel today. Seth often has said that he is posting on his blog because it is today, not because he's feeling like posting a post today or a blog post, and or because he has had a, you know, really good idea. No, it's not because of that. It is because today is today, and every day there should be a blog post. And so tomorrow is tomorrow, and there should also be one. And I think that that is really good reasoning, and also just, you know, this ability not to judge your own creative. I think in the end, what I've also been seeing throughout the years, I guess, is, you know, first of all, the ability to be way faster at some point of time, and also being able to indeed judge, you know, having this ability to notice, you know, what is wrong with what I've created, and what should I be doing differently the next time? What are some really great ways in which I can, you know, make my dailies look just, you know, just good enough so that I'm not feeling bad about them posting, or, you know, just, you know, sending out to the world every single day. You know, of course, some days it's just not going to look that great, and period, that is it. And on some other days it's going to be really good, but, you know, just having a base of satisfaction, I think, is indeed very important. Period. If you condition yourself to work without flow, it is more likely to arrive. Just working, just sitting down and doing the work, even though you're not really feeling like it, just because it is your profession. The strategy of seeking your calling gives you a marvelous place to hide. Yeah. Also just, you know, waiting for a particular day until you start doing something, because, you know, there might be like a sign that today is the day on which I should be starting doing whatever. Most often is, you know, most often today is the best day to do so. Only after we do the difficult work does it become our calling. Only after we trust the process does it become our passion. Do what you love is for amateurs. Love what you do, there's nothing else, but I guess, is for professionals. In this window of 10 to 13 years old, all of these kids decided they wanted to become musicians. They developed the habit of identity. When they looked in the mirror, they saw themselves as musicians, as artists, as people who had committed to a journey. Focus on the practice alone. Focus on the rhythm, on posture, on the magic of the physics of it. And with that being said, I'm hopefully going to see you next time. So,